Yeah. All right, we're going to go ahead and start. It's close enough to 1 o'clock. Our first speaker is by Paul Hallett, speaking on quantifying physical properties that underlie soil structure dynamics, case studies on the impact of roots and biota.
Well, I'd like to thank the organizers of this session for putting together such an interesting program. And when they asked me to give a talk, I thought that looking at some of the aspects that actually drive soil structure would be quite an interesting area to look at, because quite a lot of the work on soil structure looks more at what the structure looks like rather than some of the processes involved. And it's work involving quite a few people, so it's a bit of a mixed bag of talks, including a clay chemist, somebody who's now doing a PhD at my institute, another person who does soil mechanics, and a soil management person. But the first thing I want to do is a game of spot the odd one out. This is Madonna. She's trying to get trendy by having soil on a spade, and that's the soil that's on the spade. There's a Heinz ketchup bottle, some lipstick, some tennis racket, and a few other things. And I just want you to figure out what's the similarity between all of those. No one's answering, so I'll just tell you. Basically, all of these are materials except for Madonna. And this leads into my next slide if you wonder what planet I'm on. So I've blanked Madonna out because I don't want to use celebrity in my talks, but there's her spade full of soil, and there are quite a few reasons why it looks like it does. So one of them is one of the mechanical mechanisms is capillary cohesion caused by liquids within pores. There's particle bonding, which is by clays or biological glues. There's gelling and dispersion within this compound, either from exudates, humic substances. You could also say freezing impacts. And then there's fiber reinforcement by roots and fungi as well. Now, if you think of all of these processes here, you can think through some of these other materials that I showed. So if you want to look at capillary cohesion, you go back to soil science, which is what material scientists do. Haynes and Fisher's theory of capillary cohesion is used by everyone in every discipline. If you want to look at particle bonding, you can go to powder mechanics. If you want to look at gelling and dispersion, you can use the same thing that people who look at cosmetics look at, which is rheology. And if you want to look at fiber reinforcement, you can look at research on composite materials like tennis rackets. So basically, the premise of my talk is we should be looking at these other disciplines as a way to quantify soil structural mechanisms. So what I'm going to do in the talk today is go through some of these areas, except for fiber reinforcement, which I'm talking about tomorrow in a session on roots. So I'll start off with capillary cohesion. So if we think of capillary cohesion, there's quite a few things that affect it within soil: pore size, the roughness of the pores, whether there's it's caused by particles and also coatings on these particles, surface tension of the liquid, whether it be from surfactants produced by microbes or roots influencing that property, and also the viscosity of the liquid as well. So what I want to demonstrate here is just a very simple plate separation experiment, similar to a Healy-Shaw device, where we had two plates at a defined separation distance, and then we pulled them apart. And we had different treatments like spacing, the roughness of these surfaces, the surface tension of the liquid, and also different liquid viscosities within this liquid. So this is a graph showing the pore size or the spacing between these gaps versus the bonding stress that you'd get from these capillaries. And what you can see is as the pores get bigger, that stress gets smaller, which is what you'd expect from very basic theory. And if you reduce the surface tension, again, this bonding stress reduces. So this is an example with two smooth surfaces, and I've got a 10 micron spacing and a 100 micron spacing. If you go, first of all, the 10 micron spacing has a much greater capillary cohesion, but you see this massive drop. This is surface tension, that's cohesion, as you decrease the surface tension on this smooth surface. Now, quite more interestingly is if you start to have a rough surface. So here is a rough surface with either 35 micron particles forming the surface or 200 micron particles forming the surface, which are the square ones. And if you reduce the surface tension, you don't get this drop, you get this increase in capillary cohesion. And this is caused by improved liquid spreading on the surface, causing a greater amount of bonding between the two surfaces. We can then put different liquids into these surfaces. So this is a 35 micron sandpaper or 200 micron sandpaper. And then we just use steel, which is what was the plate was made out of. And I want to show that if you have some biological compounds, scleroglucan is produced by fungus. Xanthan is produced by bacteria, and we also had a suspension produced by Pseudomonas fluorescens. What you can see is different effects with different roughnesses. And the really dramatic one is this xanthan over here, where we've got a sevenfold increase compared to the capillary cohesion of water contributed by this biological exudate with between these pores. If we zoom in on this, you can see that with this xanthan concentration at 10 grams per liter, we've only had a small decrease in surface tension. But this corresponds with that decrease in surface tension where we had this huge increase in capillary cohesion on the previous graph. So if we add all these compounds to soil, we end up getting very different structures if we just dry them out on a plate experiment. And what we really need to know is, why do we get these different cracks within the soil? And that's where this next bit comes in, which is particle bonding. This is quite old work from 2000 that Sonia Zarnas did, but what I've got here is tensile strength of a treated soil with different compounds. So polyglutaric acid is a major component of root exudates, xanthan is this bacteria exudate, and dextran is another exudate. We put it through different cycles of wetting and drying. And what you can see is that with some of these compounds, you get this major increase in this bonding within the soil. As you wet and dry it, something else is happening. Structure is forming within the soil, and we're getting cracks developing. With this method here, we can't separate out the impacts of these cracks and the impact of this exudate on reinforcing the soil particles. So we can then go to another area. This shows a Liberty ship, and when these were crossing the Atlantic, quite frequently they cracked in half. And in the mechanics theory of 1910, they couldn't figure out why these were cracking. And then someone called Griffith started to realize that the stresses going through a material actually concentrate at the tip of the crack. They build up dislocations, and eventually the crack grows through the material. So if we take fracture mechanics theory, which Griffith developed, we can account for this crack size. We can measure properties like stress, stiffness, and crack extension to get parameters such as the resistance to fracture, which is called toughness, the bond energy between these particles. And then also we can look at processes like how much strain do we have to apply to get complete failure of this material. This is an example, again, with this polyglutaric acid. I've used this quite a bit. And we've put in different amounts of it to a kaolinite. And what you see is as you increase this amount of PGA, you get this increase in fracture toughness. And this explains to some extent why around a root zone, where you've got lots of exuded compounds, you get far more structurally stable soil than in the bulk soil. And the curve that's been fitted here is actually taken from powder mechanics, where it's used to look at binders that are used to put particulate systems together. In a wet system, it's a bit more difficult because you get lots of plastic processes, but this is where this crack tip opening angle approach comes through. And what you can see is as you decrease the amount of clay or increase the amount of sand, the amount that you have to open this angle up by decreases, so it becomes a more rigid material that cracks under less strain. Another quite interesting property from this is if you add salt to a clay soil, you decrease this crack tip opening angle quite significantly, which also accounts for the very different cracking properties that you get between salt-affected soils and other soils. If we think of capillary cohesion then, this is soil water potential along this axis, and we're making it drier and drier. This is the crack tip opening angle, which is in black. And as the soil gets drier, oh, sorry, it started on this one. As the soil gets drier and drier, this, which is the toughness, increases because the particles are being moved closer together and there's greater capillary cohesion. At the same time, the soil is becoming stiffer and stiffer. And this means that the crack tip opening angle gets smaller and smaller. And this is quite important to understand these types of processes if we're going to want to start to look at the modeling and understanding of how soils fracture at varying water contents and structure develops. So I want to go on to this last topic here, which is on gelling and dispersing of soils. And this is where rheology is a very useful discipline to look at. And it's used quite frequently to make sure that things like lipstick go onto your lips quite properly. But it's also quite useful to look at soil of varying water contents and how it flows and forms structure. This picture here shows the what's called the mucosphere, or the zone around a fungal hyphae, and also the rhizosphere, which is the zone around a plant root. And you can see in the structure of this that you've got highly orientated particles, and they're also highly aggregated particles. and there must be an underlying mechanism that causes this. And there are two mechanisms. One is a dispersion mechanism, and another is an aggregation mechanism. So what we can do is to look at the mechanics of wet soil. This is where this theory of rheology comes through. And it requires very small non-intact samples, which are tested in a machine like this, which is a rheometer. And all you do is you apply very small shear stresses like this to the soil. So you're basically twisting it in torsion. And you can measure different properties of the soil by increasing the amount of stress that you apply to the soil. One is viscosity. And if you think of something like honey, it's got much higher viscosity than something like water. It's the resistance to flow. Another property that's quite interesting is flow point, which is quite similar to yield stress. And this is the stress where the structure collapses completely within the material. This is a work that we just published in EJSS. And what we have are different 2-to-1 clays along of these different graphs, and we've got viscosity on this axis and water content on the x-axis. The control is this blue line, and then scleroglucan, which is this fungal exudate, is in green, and polyglycolic acid, which is this kind of very simple root exudate analog, is in pink. And what you see is over these ranges of water contents, if you add in this biological exudate, you've increased the viscosity. So you've got an effective gelling of the soil, which explains this kind of nucleation of aggregation within soils around biological hotspots. Now, polyglycolic acid is quite a long chain compound, and it's potentially not the best analog for root exudate. It is very prominent within root exudates, but you can use much more complex systems. This is an exudate analog that Eric Patterson developed, which is a mixture of sugars, amino acids, and organic acids. And we've tested this as well. And one of the questions I always had on that previous graph is, the second a root exudate enters soil, microbes chew it up very quickly. So what's the impact of the microbes versus the root exudate? So we did an experiment, and this is one of the first results from it, where we added this exudate in two different concentrations. And we measured the flow point of the material, so when the structure collapses, over a range of water contents. So at a 2-degree incubation over 13 days, there is not much microbial transformation of this compound. So this shows the control, and this shows the highest concentration over here. And what you get is a dispersion. So when the root exudate, or this analog of a root exudate, enters the soil disperses. And this is basically a mechanism for structural movement of particles and reforming of soil structure. What happens, though, if we incubate this at a warmer temperature, which is 16 degrees, you get a reverse of this effect. So you get this initial dispersion caused by the root exudate, followed by an aggregation once the microbes chew this compound up and transform it into more complex organic compounds. This is a really nice result to show this effect here, where we've got this reorientation of particles, and then we end up with quite a structurally intact soil. So I'll just review some of the different processes that I've been through on these mechanisms here of soil structure formation. If we think of capillary cohesion then, if you have soil biota within pores, they produce lots of surfactants. And if you have surfactants within the pores, they reduce the surface tension, but they can also increase cohesion by improving the spread of this liquid over rough soil surfaces and also potentially influencing adhesion and viscosity. And there's a lot of scope within this for simple experiments to describe this in greater detail. With particle bonding, which is biological glues, if you have capillary cohesion, you get this increase in bond energy and toughness. If you have biological exudates, they have this further increase to bond energy and toughness, which again describes the highly stable soil structure that you get associated with biological hotspots. And if we take fracture mechanics, we can start to quantify these properties within soil. Finally is gelling and dispersion. And this is caused by various organic compounds within soil. Basically, biological exudates can either gel or disperse soils. And when you think of an aggregation process, and you'll see lots of images of aggregates in subsequent talks, you can see a reorientation of particles and then a high stabilization of the particles. And this gelling and dispersion approach or technique is what describes what's happening. And by doing work with rheology, we can start to quantify these processes as well. So I think I've stuck to time, so I'll gladly take any questions. Okay, thank you.
are very similar to some that we already kind of heard at the Outerberg Limits. They
yep.
also work with emotional content. But I'm just curious. You're showing that this is working at very, very small scale, micro aggregate. Have you tested your ideas already, the macro aggregates?
The question was, many of the results I showed were for, I guess, very small scale microstructure processes rather than larger scale processes. Most of these results are on fairly ideal systems because you, with a structured soil, you end up having a highly complex cracked matrix. It's very difficult to quantify any of these properties, so it's a reformed soil. The mechanisms here then, I guess they describe the onset of microaggregation, which then leads to macroaggregation. The work that I showed in the first slide of the strength results, where it was wet-dry cycles versus biological exudates, those are actually quite large samples that would be the equivalent of a macroaggregate type size. But the mechanisms will scale up, and it's really trying to look at what are the underlying mechanisms at this micro scale, and how do those influence structure formation.
Yep. I'll
go to the slide actually, because that's. Oops. Is it going up? Hold on. There we go. That's something I forgot to say when I went through this slide. The flow point is basically affected by the amount of stress that's put onto the soil. So as a root or an earthworm or fungi or anything is pushing through the soil, it's creating a stress around it. So what this is causing here is if you have a root pushing through the soil, creating this stress, if you decrease this flow point, it actually causes the soil to deform more easily. So you can actually, it would ease root penetration through the soil if the flow point is dropped. And this would also facilitate this reorientation of the particles as well. Yep, so thanks for that, because I forgot to mention that.
Reduction means it does not work in the soil, in the field. So the,
not
because the temperature is not that, well, normally when roots are growing, the temperature is higher. Let's say like
yep.
This.
Okay, this is a 13-day incubation that's shown here.
Yes.
So what we were doing in this part of it is suppressing the incubation. So we're suppressing the biological activity, which we measured with carbon dioxide. This one here, we're not suppressing the microbial activity. So, and we have done other experiments of just adding these exudates to the soil and testing them immediately. And you get the same effect, this dispersion result.
So the rearrangement of particles would be primarily because of the forces created by the roots?
The rearrangement is, yes, it's both the forces created by the root and the fact that the flow point is dropping within the soil. So it's, what's that? Well, the root, as the root is pushing through the soil, is exuding exudates, which facilitates the expansion, which is this drop in flow point. And then the microbes come up and find this hot spot of food, chew up all these exudates, and then you get this gelled soil around the root.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Much.